Baruch Hashem is zeichet to be back together to continue to taste of the tapuach bedvash, of the honey, the sweetest honey of Pnimis HaTorah, Ibn Achman's Torah. And it's a yam, it's an ocean, and to try to talk about the tzaddik's life, which we've been this past year, 2 years, talking about the tzaddik's life and tying it together with Torahs and with the Yom Tovim, it's ain't safe. It's very, very hard to be mitzamtzem the Inyan of Rabbi Nachman. And we'll try to talk now about something specific. We've been traveling together with Rabbi Nachman through his amazing and stormy life, very brief and amazing life. And there's many, many, many stories and many, many events that we didn't talk about, but it's a lot. Kol Dvarim Ksuvim B'Sefer Divrei HaYomim. It's all written. It's written in English. It's written in Hebrew. It's written in Yiddish. It's written in Russian and French. And anybody could buy the Svarim of Rabbi Nachman's life and to read Prote Protim. If you read then Through Fire and Water, Rabbi Nosson's life, and Rabbi Nosson himself wrote about Rabbi Nachman. These are all things that are available in English. And my idea here is only to try to be mashed from some of the main things to focus on. Many, many people have asked me over the years, but the Inyan of Rabbi Nachman and Rosh Hashanah, the Inyan of going to Uman, any time, but especially Rosh Hashanah, which has become an event that has drawn thousands and thousands of Jews from all different backgrounds, ever since we've been allowed to return to that place. It's probably one of the most remarkable phenomena in the Jewish world, in modern Jewish history, is the excitement about Rabbi Nachman's scene about Uman in Rosh Hashanah. And I felt it would be a good way to begin the Nuzman to talk about this Inyan of Rabbi Nachman, Rosh Hashanah, Uman, since we're leading up to discussing the Histalkus of the Tzaddik, how Rabbi Nachman left the world, which we'll talk more about the specific details of his Ptira, of his death. But I felt that it's important, since it's something which everybody hears about, and many of the chevra from the shul, we've had men and women, of course, you know, the women, Rosh Hashanah, there's no place for women over there on Rosh Hashanah, but during the year, and many of the chevra, the guys, the men, have been zeichet to go Rosh Hashanah, to daven there, and it's a very wondrous thing, and it's a mitzvah to try to understand in our Madrega a little bit, because the Inyan of Rabbi Nachman and Rosh Hashanah, I mean, there's a whole sefer from one of the tzaddikim, from one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Nachman, there's a whole sefer on this Inyan of Rosh Hashanah and Rabbi Nachman, and there's so many things in his writings and the writings of his Talmidim. And then in general, to understand the whole subject of Hishtachos al Kivei Tzaddikim, what's the Inyan of davening by a tzaddik's grave? What's the Inyan to daven by a tzaddik's grave? What does it mean? What does it accomplish? And what are we supposed to say? What are we supposed to think? It's a very big subject. It's a very big subject that needs a lot of time. Just that itself, even before we talk about Rabbi Nachman and his Inyan with Uman, but Chlal, to go and to daven by tzaddik's scene, what is that? And how that works, what that means, it's a very, very big subject in Torah. And in Halach, it's a very big subject. But we're just going to try to talk a little bit on our Madrega about Rabbi Nachman's connection to Rosh Hashanah and how desperately he wanted that connection should continue till the end of time. and why was it so important for Rabbi Nachman? These are very big questions. And what is it about it that has taken hold of so many Jews from different backgrounds, that people are finding themselves caught up in this amazing Ratzon of the Tzaddik? It's like that Rabbi Nachman is pulling people with chains and ropes and magnets that he's pulling to him on many levels. Rabbi Nelson Breslov has said regarding the trip, and it wasn't until recently that it's possible to go in such a way. And even though it's true that even now there are always difficulties and inconveniences, you know, this is not it's not America, and it's not with all the improvements, it's still for a spoiled Americans like us. You know, it's anything less than 4 or 5 stars is already a tragedy. So it's hard. But if we would have a musik of the Mesiras Nefesh, there are things written in English about this too. There's something that came out 2-3 years ago of how Jews went to Uman, of what kind of Mesiras Nefesh, of how they endangered their lives mamish, not exaggerating, and what kind of efforts were made by Chassidim to be by Rabbi Nachman Rosh Hashanah and to acquire that place and to build up the place. It's one of the greatest stories. It's one of the greatest stories of history, of Jewish history. The whole tumult revolving Rabbi Nachman's Tzion. And it continues to this day. So Rabbi Nosson said in his time, I'm just quoting the quotations that many of these things that you have on the page. This one is Zafka, not, you don't have in front of you. I'll tell you when it's on the page. Are from Rabbi Nosson's writings and from Chaim Haran, Chaim Haranat, that we have Baruch Hashem writings from Rabbi Nosson about Rabbi Nachman's life, about his own life, and Sichas Haran that we have. That's all of these things are from. But Rabbi Nosson said, "Ilo haisa kol haderach zruah b'charaves mechudades." If the entire way leading to Uman was covered with swords, with sharp swords, I would still crawl on my hands and knees in order to reach the grave of Rabbi Nachman Rosh Hashanah, even if the whole way was covered with swords. Why? We haven't seen this by any other tzaddik. There are tzaddikim, it's a big thing to daven by the graves of tzaddikim. There are certain tzaddikim that also mentioned something about how they wanted an olam. Rabbi Eliezer Malach said things about those who come to his grave. There are things that we have even from those who were not Hasidim. There are some graves with those tzaddikim who were buried there before they left the world. Before they left the world, indicated that it would be good for people to come. But nothing like Rabbi Nachman. And we really have to try to understand on our level why this is. And particularly the connection to Rosh Hashanah, which would require us to really go very deeply into what Rosh Hashanah is in Rabbi Nachman's teachings, which we're not going to be able to do a little bit, just to skim the surface to try to understand. Rabbi Nachman saw that the root of his soul and the lives of all of his followers, the life of the entire Jewish people, and ultimately the existence of the entire world depended on Rosh Hashanah, and on having something to do with him on Rosh Hashanah. And if you look at number one over here on the page, on the photostatic page one, Rabbi Nachman said, HaRosh Hashanah Shali, my Rosh Hashanah, HaRosh Hashanah Shali Hu Chiddush Gadol. It's a very big Chiddush. It's something different. It's something new. There was nothing ever like it until me. HaRosh Hashanah Shali Hu Chiddush Gadol. Hashem is Baruch Yodeach, the Baruch Shalom knows, She'ein Hadav HaZeh B'Yusha Me'Avaysai, that I did not receive this as an inheritance from my ancestors. He was, of course, the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. He said, I did not receive this in a Yerusha, my union of Rosh Hashanah, and what Rosh Hashanah is to me, and what I can accomplish in Rosh Hashanah, and what I do accomplish Rosh Hashanah. It's not something that was handed down to me. It's a Chiddush. It's something which is new. Rak Hashem is Baruch Nosson Lizayis B'Matana Shani Yodea Mahu Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is Baruch gave this to me as a gift, that I know what Rosh Hashanah is. Shani Yodea Mahu Rosh Hashanah. Lomi boy Adam Kulchem bevadet Tulim Rosh Hashanah Shali. He says, it's obvious, of course, that Atam Kulchem, he was addressing his followers, his Hasidim, that Atam Kulchem, that all of you, Bavada Tulim Rosh Hashanah Shali, that your lives, not only in this world, but your Chayim Nitzchim, your life forever in the world, in this world and the world to come, depends on my Rosh Hashanah. And he says, that's obvious. But then he added, Ela Afilu Kol HaOlam Kulay, the entire world, Tolug Rosh Hashanah Shali, depends on my Rosh Hashanah. I think by now, just I'm only saying this because there might be people who have not learned anything about Rabbi Nachman. I don't know. So by now, those who have learned even a little bit, of course, you realize that these kind of statements, you know, if anybody else, if we would say things like this, then you know, it'd be crazy to say such a thing. And who do you think you are? And wasn't Rabbi Nachman humble? Wasn't he humble? How could Rabbi Nachman say things like this? The Torah says that Rabbi Nachman had no ego at all. Therefore, he only said the absolute truth. It meant nothing to him what people thought of him. See, there are a lot of things that we think of ourselves, a lot of interesting things that we would ever say them to anybody, we would get locked up. Oh, we don't say them to anybody because you're such a guy, there's such a strong ego. So, you know, so we say, no, that doesn't bother me at all. No, because I'm nothing, I'm worthless. It doesn't bother me at all. Then you spend like the next 3 weeks agonizing and paying your therapist and stuff. So Rabbi Nachman said the mitzvah the way that it was. He didn't have any inyan of... He was so egoless that it didn't mean anything what you thought, or what everybody thought, or what he said. He was saying the mitzvah. He stated the fact. This was the reality. So he was saying that the whole world depends on my Rosh Hashanah. Whatever there was of Rabbi Nachman that he had to perfect in his midas, we know from his earlier life he broke, he smashed, he crushed, he decimated into a billion pieces, the fighting with the Yetzirah, and he spoke about his struggle with conceit and how he overcame it. And that was it. By the time we read these things, it was finished. There's no inyan anymore of like, how does it look? What do people think of me if I say these things? There was no inyan at all like that. This is what it is. This is just stating a fact. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman announced, he proclaimed, that every single one who considers himself to be a chassid of his must come on Rosh Hashanah. He said this while he was alive. Must come to be together with him while he was alive. To come to be together with him on Rosh Hashanah. Look at 2. Omar. Rabbi Nachman said, Rabbi Nosson is telling us this. Amar Rosh Hashanah Shali Ayla Al Hakol. Rabbi Nachman said that my Rosh Hashanah is higher than anything. V'hayapela etzli me'achasham akaravim shali ma'aminim li. So Rabbi Nachman said that it's a wonder to me, since those who are close to me ma'aminim li, they believe everything, they believe me, they believe what I tell them, and they believe in me. Since he said it's a pell, it's a wonder to me, since the people who are near me, who are close to me, they believe in me, and yet they're not all careful to be with me on Rosh Hashanah, because really, whoever is close to me, he says, you kulam al Rosh Hashanah ish lo yadar. Nobody should be missing from all of my followers. Nobody should be missing. Ish lo yadar. He called Inyan Shali, listen to these words. Nobody ever said this in history, these words. Till then and since then. He called Inyan Shali Hu Rosh Hashanah. My whole existence is Rosh Hashanah. He called Inyan Shali Hu Rosh Hashanah. Vehiz Elasas Kruz. And Rabbi Nosson says that Rabbi Nachman was careful to make this clear to a Kruz means a proclamation. He announced. Shakol Misha Sar Amashmaasai. Anybody who obeys him, umakurav Ela, and whoever considers himself to be close to him, yeah, al Rosh Hashanah etzla, will make it somehow to be together with Rabbi Nachman Rosh Hashanah. Which again, in those days, for many, many of the Chassidim, required unbelievable mesiras nefesh to endanger their lives to get through borders and over hills and rivers, and it was to be able to get through Cossacks and Rishoyim and all kinds of crazy things to get to the Tzaddik. And yet Rabbi Nachman said that whoever obeys me and is makuriv to me, wants to be close to me, to make sure to be Rosh Hashanah. Lo yechzar ish, not one person should be missing. You can't imagine how much of a commotion this caused among the wives of these Hasidim. And this is it's a very well documented part of the history of Hasidus. It's the women, what was going on with many of the women and the families, Rosh Hashanah. And remember, it wasn't like even now, go from America to Uman, they're back in 4 days, 5 days, the whole thing is a couple of days. And that's because they want to already go to Mezhbuz and to Medici. You go to Uman back and forth in a couple of days. They would go for the entire month. It was the whole time. Elul already here for Elul, the whole Tishrei is 6-7 weeks. There are many, many stories about that as well and what was going on. And Rabbi Nachman, all who ever learned Rabbi Nachman's teachings know that he was unbelievably, unbelievably ahead of his time in how he respected, in general, how he respected the Jewish women and how careful he was with their covet and how he would always, always repeat and emphasize again and again with the Chassidim to honor their wives and to be good and soft-spoken. He was very much ahead of his time in terms of how often he spoke about the Inyan of Shalom Bayis and so on. But Rosh Hashanah, there's not anything to budge. Everybody has to come. All the men have to come. There's nothing to talk about. There are no compromises. Even though, I'll explain in a moment, that there were times we told Chassidim, because they had extreme situations, he told them to stay home. So he says, "Kol in shali Rosh Hashanah." His last year, Rosh Hashanah, as the Yach Seriyach, Umisha Zaycheh Lias Rosh Hashanah. Whoever is Zaycheh to be with me in Rosh Hashanah, Roi Loi Lismat Lismeach Ma'ayid Ma'ayid. Whoever is Zaycheh to be is it's proper for him to be very, very joyous to have that opportunity. This was Ad Kedei Kach that Rabbi Nelson tells about one of the Hasidim who went to complain to Rabbi Nachman that he felt that he davened much better when he was home. And a lot of the people go now to him and say the same thing, that it's hard, it's crowded, and whatever, with the mikveh, and to get in the big shul, it's beautiful, but who can get there, and you can't sit down, how can you stand on Rosh Hashanah so many hours, you know, it's the whole, early in the morning till the whole afternoon and day, and it's very, very hard. And so somebody came to Rabbi Nachman complaining that he has more kavani, he davens better Rosh Hashanah when he's home. He has a whatever nice shul, a little shtibl or something, and he davens. And when he comes to Uman, he says, first of all, till he could find a place to stay, these are all old problems. That it was hard to find an achsanya, to find a decent place, to be able to sleep and to eat. It was very, very hard. And to be able to concentrate on davening when there was no room and so on and so forth. And he came to Rabbi Nachman and he asked if Rabbi Nachman would give permission for him to come, instead of coming at Rosh Hashanah, let him stay home Rosh Hashanah, he'll be with Rabbi Nachman Shabbos Shuvah. He'll come for Shabbos Shuvah. So Rabbi Nachman's response is number three. Rabbi Nachman said like this, but he said it for all the Hasidim. Im le'achol, im shaloi le'achol. Whether you have what to eat when you're here or you don't have what to eat. Im lishon, im shaloi lishon. Whether you have a place to sleep or you don't have a place to sleep. Im lispalel, im shaloi lispalel. Whether you're able to daven or you're not able to daven. Meaning with this, as it says, of course, in parentheses, Rabbi Nelson said he meant with the highest kavana, with concentration. He didn't mean to daven at all. Why should I mean not daven? You daven, but just that means that you're able to daven better at home. So he says, in lispal, im shalei lispal, whether you're able to daven better or not able to daven, so good. Ach verak shetiyu etzti Rosh Hashanah. Whatever it is, just make sure you're here to be with me for Rosh Hashanah. Yia ech sheyia. Yes and nitas and yashlof and nitshlof and Yiddish, it sounds better. That's how he said it originally. That's how it was said. But the main thing is, he says, the main thing is that the Zos by me is a Rosh Hashanah. You have to be with me for Rosh Hashanah. U'be'emes kol ha'dvarim, kol dvarim elu hanal. Then Rabbi Nachman said, and by the way, all these things that you're complaining about, eating and sleeping and davening, ragdim yoinis, it's all your imagination. He says, "Rakdim yoinis upituyim shal bal dover." It's all the It's all the deception and the tricks of the Yetzer Hara. That it's all coming from the Yetzer Hara that you won't be able to have what to eat, you won't be able to have. So you can ask about Rabbi Nachman, I didn't last year, I didn't sleep, I didn't eat. Rabbi Nachman says all the Yetzer Hara.
Even the Kavanah?
Even the Union of Kavanah. If a person would mechazing himself, and a person would learn the sugya properly of what it meant to be with me, so then he wouldn't feel any of those things at all, it would make a difference to him. Not with the eating. May it could be that, like it says in the Mishnah, right? Nobody ever said in Yerushalayim, millions of Jews would go to Yerushalayim for the three regalim for the Yontif, right? Millions of Jews. So Chazal say in the Mishnah that nobody ever said that I have no place, that it's too crowded. Nobody ever said that. So the tzaddikim explained, what do you mean? That means it was a miracle? It wasn't crowded in Yerushalayim? We have very, very clear descriptions by Josephus and the sources from Chazal about how unbelievably crowded it was. How many, every single person in Yerushalayim had to take in, like so many people, every yontif. What was going on? It was a tremendous balagan. But the tzaddikim said, no, the Mishnah says, lo'ilam lo'i omar adam tzal yom. Nobody ever said that it was crowded. Because the lichtekeit, the unbelievable light and joy of being in Yerushalayim on Pesach, on Shavuos and Sukkos, took away. It was shining so strong that it took away any of those things, like I can't sleep, and, could you move over, and I have no window, like, banging each other. So it was uncomfortable, but nobody ever would talk about it, because it was like somebody with, you're at your child's chasna, so you're saying, it's such a long day. I mean, what is that? Who says such a thing? Nobody. At somebody else's chasna, maybe you feel, it's a long day. But at your own child's chasna, it's a long day. It's uncomfortable. Obviously people should say it's under the chuppah, and I'm not going under there. It's too crowded. I never heard once the chasna kala say, I'm not going under there. It's crazy over there. Too many people. I'm staying right here. You ever hear anybody talk like that? Because even though it's crowded under there and it's hot under the chuppah, whatever. But nobody ever would say such a thing. Why? Because the chiyus that they're getting and the simcha, the joy of being there, takes away any of the other things that a person feels. Somebody who's not used to. I remember I went with Moshe Siderbaum and a couple of the chevri was zeichet to go some years ago when the Gay Rebbe was marrying off one of his children. So we went. So Moshe's father, all of a sudden, was a big, big Gay Rechazit. His mamish, they go back all the way to the Sfasem, the Chedusharim, they were all big Ger Chassidim. So his father wanted us all to go. So we went on this little Eish Kodesh trip, for the Chasna. So I'm not a Ger Chassid. I love all Jews, and especially, to be among Chassidim for Simcha was a big thing. But I got to tell you, I was after 3 hours, I had it. Because we were sitting crushed. And we were lucky because the Bacham, and a lot of people don't get a place to sit at all, but because of his family, so we got unbelievable protects here, and we got terrific tables, and we were able to sit, but it was such a crunch, I can't even describe. So the whole time, Moshe is saying, isn't this great, isn't this great? And me, like the other guys, are saying, I'm going to get out of here. It was crazy. I mean, I enjoyed it for the first hour or two, and, because everybody's going to say, Mazel Tov to the Rebbe, say Mazel Tov, and then a couple of Naguna, but then, I want to go home and read the paper or something. It was just, you felt you were getting, but it was an amazing limud, because we were there for around 6 hours, the other guys. Moshe stayed till the morning, because it's mamish in the blood, such a thing. It's unbelievable. It's in the blood. That those who are makuriv to the tzaddik, they have such a thing. And the rest of them were staying there. They stayed. He was embarrassed when he came home after Shachris. Most of the chassidim stayed throughout the entire day. It was, and there was things davening and learning and all kinds of things for the chassid. So, but I was sitting there and I was so uncomfortable because you can't do it. You can't go. You can't stretch your limbs at all. Like this. You're in one place for six, like this. And I'm looking at these. I'm looking at the chassidim, at the real, the starker chassidim. I'm looking at them. People in the 70s and the 80s. They're just sitting the whole time. I'm telling you, I was watching the faces. I was there for 6 hours. It's just only shining with happiness. Nobody squirming and krechzing, just shining with happiness. It was a limud. It was something to see. Just being happy. Why? Because the Rebbe was marrying off a child. And that's all it was. It was just pure happiness. And there wasn't a thing like that anybody that you could look at the people and you could see who the guests were, who were not from the chassidim. Because anybody who wasn't from the chassidim, they're all like constantly like you know, trying to do something. They're all like doing something. Because you know it was unbearable. But that's what it is. So Ibn Achman says it's all demyainus. If you be'emes attached, then you know what is it? Eating, sleeping, davening with more kavana. So he says, "Remember, it's called dvar meilu and arak dimyonis ipitim shabal davar. It's all yetzahar. This is all tricks, narishkei. Ki taydla kel." He says, "Reb Nachman said because thank God, mir bechush al pi harayv. Because even on a simple level, you don't have to even not even in pinyanis. On a simple level, you could see kal pi harayv mispalim yoyse bekavana that the davening is better." That the davening is better bechlal hakibbutz hakadosh on Rosh Hashanah, in our holy gathering on Rosh Hashanah, bechlal hakibbutz, they call it a kibbutz, the gathering. That bechlal hakibbutz hakadosh on Rosh Hashanah, that the davening is better. Yimash shahayim spal bebe. So it's really better than what he would be davening at home. It's all he says the miyanis of pituyim, and we're going to see one of Rabbi Nachman's stories. We're going to read together one of his shortest stories about this inyan of how the Yetzirah plays tricks when it comes to this inyan of following the tzaddik's instructions to be with him for Rosh Hashanah. So this was a chiddush of Rabbi Nachman. As you know, that by all the chiddush of Rebbe's, there was an expectation that the chassidim should make an effort to try to be with the Rebbe, especially by the time of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah. There was an expectation on the part of the tzaddikim, but as far as Rabbi Nachman's insistence and Davke Rosh Hashanah, and when Rabbi Nachman was asked, there was another tzaddik that was visiting Rabbi Nachman, and he asked Rabbi Nachman, why do you make yourself in this inyan different from all the other rabbis? Why are you making such an inyan with Rosh Hashanah? So Ibn Achman, and you know, and the tzaddik said that it causes people to get upset and to say things about you and all this. So Ibn Achman's answer was, as Rabbi Nosson quoted, it was, "Harimeli yesh lahem alai v'al darki kushyas rabbis." He says, anyway, they have many, many kashas on me. They have many questions about me and my way. "Val kain im tielam oid kushy nasefes." So if they have one more kasha, the davar inyan of Rosh Hashanah shli, if they have one more kasha about my Rosh Hashanah, hadavar lo yishanes yachasam elai, it's not going to change their way of thinking about me. So they have one more kasha. They have many questions about me. So now they have one more question about my Rosh Hashanah. So he says, that's not going to make a difference. Anyway, they don't like me or they have problems with me. So now they have one more kasha. It's a good way to think. One more kasha. It doesn't... So... Therefore, it was always known, and even now, the test of whether a person is really part of Breslov, whether he's really a chassid, it was always a test of whether a person would be able to be Rabbi Nachman Rosh Hashanah. And as I said before, Rabbi Nosson did tell us that there were times that chassidim would have difficulties in yonim at home, especially shalom bayis things. And they would ask Rabbi Nachman at an earlier visit, they would ask Rabbi Nachman for permission to stay home Rosh Hashanah. And I told you, we spoke about this last year, that Rabbi Nachman Bechlal was not an action. He was not at all a stubborn person. He never ever liked to go with Akshanis. In other words, he never liked to go in such a way where he imposed his will on other people. This is very unusual how he spoke about Rosh Hashanah. Generally, and even though he spoke this way privately when people would come to tell him that they had shalom bayis, things like this, Rabbi Nachman wasn't an action. He didn't like to impose, and personally he wouldn't make a thing to make it hard for people. So Rabbi Nosson said that there were times that Rabbi Nachum would answer that under those circumstances, then it's better for you to stay home, you should stay home. But then Rabbi Nosson said that Rabbi Nachum had tremendous agmas nefesh from it. Rabbi Nachum kept the cheshem of every one of the chassidim, and he had a tremendous amount of agmas nefesh for any chassid, any simple little chassid that was missing from the kibbutz, from the chevra. Rabbi Nosson said it caused Rabbi Nachman tzar gadol al kol chassid shahaya chassid roshon. Rabbi Nachman had tzar gadol. He had great agmas nefesh for any chassid that was missing. So even though he officially gave a heter, he officially gave permission for that chassid to stay, Rabbi Nosson said that it was always known in Breslov that anything that the tzaddik says, you have to listen to. Anything. Unless, there's only one thing, unless the tzaddik says, don't come Rosh Hashanah. You shouldn't listen to that. That's what he said. Because there were times that Rabbi Nachman said, not only that he gives permission, but he said, it's better you shouldn't come. You shouldn't come. Especially with Shalom Bayis things. Rabbi Nachman would say, don't come. It's not good. And Rabbi Nosson said that the Chassidim knew that Rabbi Nachman said that that was another maniyah, that was another obstruction that you had to overcome. Even the tzaddik saying it was an obstacle. But if you really, 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 if you really are connected to me, then you'll even be able to overcome my telling you not to come. This is an extraordinary thing. Ad kedei kach, we don't have a hasog of the rotzen of the tzaddik, how strong the rotzen of the tzaddik was in this inyan. And this was not only during his lifetime. This was not only meant for during his lifetime. It's very clear from his Talmidim. It's very clear that Rabbi Nachman expected the same thing after he left the world. And there's a very clear tradition of this that we'll see from the Talmidim of Rabbi Nachman. After we go through these two pages, we're going to see from one of his greatest Talmidim in the Paparos, L'Chachma. We need to learn a little bit of that Torah first and then to come back to that, about how it's clear, absolutely clear, that Rabbi Nachman's Ratzon, that his will was that this continue even after his death. He wanted them to continue coming. Look at number 4. B'mechlal Devarav HaKadosh Rabbi Nosson says, and included in his holy words, Shadibra Oz Yimono, that he spoke to us, Lamadnu Kama Devarim, we learned a number of things. Lamadnu Oid Hapam Etzem Gardla HaChiyav Lias Etzla Rosh Hashanah. Before he died, we learned from Rabbi Nachman once again how important it was, how great it was for us to come to be there Rosh Hashanah. Kiaf al pishi yadanu zayis mikvar, even though we already knew this. This wasn't new. Because Rabbi Nachman repeated it so many times, and from his awesome motions, movements that he was making, I guess, with his eyes, with his face, with his arms, whatever, his body language, we understood it even more than ever before, how urgent it was that we all continue to come for Rosh Hashanah. It's impossible to describe in writing what we understood. The gam oz lamadnu, and we also learned at that time. This was a short time before this dalgas. The gam oz lamadnu, we also learned. Remember that Rabbi Nachman passed away on Sukkot, right? And there are many amazing things that happened that last Rosh Hashanah, which we'll talk about. The gam oz lamadnu shevitzayne chazak lios etzla beumen a Rosh Hashanah tamid. So we also understood from that day that Rabbi Nachman's Ratzon was, his will was that we be with him on Uman, in Uman and Rosh Hashanah even after his death. And there was nothing greater than that. Now, I felt it was important at this point, since it's a short Maisa, but you know that all of the Maisa is, all of the stories of Rabbi Nachman are very, very, very deep, and there are pirushim, there are commentaries written. Every word is according to Kabbalah and can be understood on many, many levels. This, however, is one of the shortest and most straightforward of the stories, less complicated of the stories. those who have had the schus to learn Reb Nachum's stories knows that there's stories within stories within stories within stories, and they're very complicated even to understand the pshat of the stories. It's very hard. This particular one is the eighth Maisi in the Sipur Maisis. The reason that we're going to read this Maisi together, those of you who have the English Sipur Maisis, you can read it over in English. The reason that we're going to read it is because this particular Maisi is on this subject of traveling to the Tzaddik, of going to be with the Tzaddik. And it's very important to have an idea, a taste of what that meant to Rabbi Nachman and how important it was. Again, to do this properly, you would have to spend a great deal of time on this Maisi, and we're just going to do it very quickly just to see the story. Of course, it was originally told in Yiddish, but we'll read it in the Lashon HaKodesh. Maisi Berav Echa. There's a Maisi with a certain Rav, Shlahoy Lobanim, who didn't have any sons. Achakach Hoylo Ben Yochid. So then he was able to have finally an only son. The Gidlo Isai, the Hisio Isai. And he raised him, and he became great, and he found him a wife, he married him off. Vahayoshev Ba'aliyah. And he would sit someplace in this, he would sit in the second story, someplace upstairs. Velomad Kederach Eitzel HaGvirim. The father was a wealthy person, and the family supported him supported the son after he was married, that he should be able to continue learning without any disturbance. V'hayalomid Mispal Tomid, and he was always learning and davening. V'akshayamagish Ba'atzmai, but this son always felt within himself, shechosle ezichisar. He always felt something missing. With all of his learning, all of his davening, and he had a good life, but he always felt that something was shechisar. Ven yodea mahu. And he didn't know what it was that he was missing. He always felt it was missing. V'lohaya margish tam b'limudu b'tfilah, so it came to a point where he didn't feel anymore any pleasure because of this thing that he couldn't figure out what it was, this mysterious thing that was missing. His davening, his learning lost the cheshek, didn't have a taste, didn't have a time. Those who have spent long days and nights learning in yeshiva and after that certainly can identify with times like that and what that feels like. Ven yudea mahu. V'sipa lefnei shnei anoshim b'nei hanurim. And he spoke to two of the guys, two of his chavayim. V'nos mo eitza sheyisa loise tzadik. And the friends recommended. They advised him to go and to see some great tzadik. Loise tzadik. Rabbi Nachum says that he means the tzaddik of the generation. It means himself. To go to the tzaddik. Vayisai ben hanal osa mitzvah shabal yada lebchinas mo'er hakadon. And this son, the boy, the young man, saw this as a mitzvah that would bring him to the Bechina, to that level of Mor HaKotan, of the small light, which means the moon. The moon is Mor HaKotan. We'll talk about that afterwards. V'halach Oysa HaBen Yachid, and this Ben Yachid, the young man, went for Sipel Aviv, and he spoke to his father. And he told his father, he explained to his father that even though he's learning and davening, he doesn't feel any time, he doesn't feel any taste. The chasalo, and something is missing. Then he doesn't know what it is. So he asked his father permission that he would like to go to the tzaddik. The father answered, Eichat habal and soilov. What? You're going to him? You want to go to him? You know how to learn even more than him. You're a bigger Talmud Chacham than that tzaddik, than that rebbe. And you come from more chash of a family than that rebbe. Lo ino luchal and soilov. It's not proper for you to go to him. Kalch mider zu. Give up this idea that you have. Drop the idea. He prevented him from going. The father didn't allow him to go. So the chazal lilimuda. So the son returned to his learning. He couldn't get past that chisaron, that thing that was missing in him. He spoke once again to his chaver. They said again, you have to go to the tzaddik. Lenso le tzaddik. Yeshuv halach la'aviv, and he went to his father again. Vihita oisa aviv, and the father again pushed him away from this. Umana oisa, and prevented him from going canal. V'chein hayakama pa'amim, it happened a number of times like this. V'abein hanal hayamagi shechosolai, but he wasn't able to go on. This time he felt that it wasn't getting any better. V'ahayim is gageim ha'oid, l'malas chesrona. He was very desperate. He was very desperate to fill this what was missing in his life. He didn't know what it was. And he came to beg his father. The father saw that at this point it was becoming impossible. At this point to say no. And the father saw that he has no choice. But of course the father said, I'm going with you. There's no choice and we'll go. The next page. He did not want to allow his son to go by himself. It's my only boy. The father said to him, you see, I'm going with you. I will go with you and show you that there's nothing to this rabbi. There's nothing to him. They got the wagon ready and they went. The father said, you know what? We're going to test. This is going to be a test. Let's see. If the trip goes, kaseida, the trip goes well, there are no hitches along the way, everything goes well. Then it's a sign from God. If there are problems, then einum in Hashemayim, then it's a sign that it's not from heaven. V'nachse, and we're going to turn back. V'nosu ubo el gesher katan. They went traveling and they came to a small bridge. V'nofal sus echad. And sure enough, one of the horses fell over. V'amerkavan is hapcha, and the entire wagon tipped over. Kimat nitbun, they almost drowned. Omli Oviv. So father said to him, Re'ei Shenim Isnai Keseder. You see that what God is telling us is it's not going. Vein Hanisiyim in Hashemayim. This is not from Shemayim. It's a sign that this is not what God wants. V'chazun, they went back. V'chazur HaBen L'Limudo. He's a good guy. This was nowadays. He either shot his father or something, you know, or gone off the derech, something. But anyway, Chazur HaBen L'Limudo. He went back to learning. Again, it's not going. And he didn't know what it was. Because again, he comes back to his father. His father had to go again with him. The father said again, okay, we'll give it a second chance. Let's see if now Hashem wants it. And you notice the axis of two of the wheels broke. That's the worst thing that could happen in those days to a wagon. So it broke. The father said, you see that God is against us going. Is this normal? That both of the wheels, the axis of both of the wheels should break like this? That's not normal. We went many times on this wagon. Never happened such a thing. They went back home. V'chazra ben anal ladako, again he tried to learn and so on and so forth. V'chul kanal. V'shud higish chesaron kanal. It wasn't going for him. V'anoshim yatz also got, the friends said go. V'chazra aviv again, kanal. V'herkul nsoy, and the father went again. V'amul haben. Shalonamad oid al nisoyin kezeh. This time the son said, we're not having any more tests like that. I'm not agreeing to that kind of a thing. The son began to speak up. I'm not submitting this trip to make it conditional upon such a test. He says, the truth is sometimes horses fall. And sometimes wheels break. Unless it's something really, 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 the son had to agree to the father, unless it's something really, really crazy. I'm not going back. They came to an inn. They came someplace to sleep. Lalun. Along the way, there's some kind of a hotel, an inn. When they came in the place there, they met a certain seicher. They met a merchant. They began to shmooze, which is kederach haseicher, like the merchants, you know, in these places, the travelers, the merchants would shmooze what's going on and where they've been, where they're going. But the father did not tell the seicher, the merchant, the purpose of his journey, where they were going, that they were going to a rabbi. Why didn't he tell him? Because the father was a rav, and he didn't believe in rabbis and stuff, and he was embarrassed. He was very embarrassed to say. He's embarrassed to say that he's going to this rabbi. Said they were schmoozing about things in the world and business and so on. It came up in the schmooze, they began talking about tzaddikim. Where there are some tzaddikim, and the seicher, the merchant, the businessman was saying, you know, that there's a tzaddik in this place, there's a tzaddik. He was talking about rabbis and tzaddikim in these places. And at this point, it came out, the father mentioned that, well, yeah, we know about that tzaddik, actually, we're on our way to that rabbi. The businessman, the merchant said, that one? Blush and tamer, like a, halay kal hu. Kal means, he's a lightweight. Kal, he's a nobody. That's who you're going to? Kal hu. Can you say, I'm just coming from there. I was just there, Vanisi Sham Shahir, Oiva Aveir, and I saw him, he was Oiva Aveirus. Not only is he a Kal, he's a nobody, he does Aveirus, he's a phony, he's a quack. He's doing Aveirus. I saw him doing Aveirus. On the Oviv Amalubna, that's the father had it. And he says to his son, Hari Isa Bini, do you see this, my son? Mashizah Seichim Asapal Afi Tumo, that this is an honest. A seicher that's just telling you, he doesn't know what your inyan is with this rabbi. He's just saying the truth. He just came from there. He's just leaving there. So v'chazvil abeisam, that they went back home. V'nifter aisa haben, and the son died. He died. Ubo b'cholim laharav anal aviv, and he came in a dream to his father the rav. And his father saw his son in the dream that his son was very angry. And the father asked him, what are you angry about? And the son said to his father, go to that tzaddik. And the tzaddik will tell you why I'm so angry. The father woke up. He said, it's a coincidence, it's an Irish guy. A dream. He had the dream again. He says, dreams, no, things, it's not true. So he had this dream three times in succession. So he realized that there's something going on. So he went to the tzaddik. And guess what? Who do you think he met along the way? It's interesting. What are the chances of that happening? He met that seicher, that guy, that businessman from the last time. He recognized him. He said, I remember you. You're the person that I met You're the guy that I met in the kretschmer at that motel. I met you. Ve'eshev loy, bevadai reis I see. Yeah. You definitely did see me. Upasach pi va'amaloy. And then the merchants listen to what this guy said, the businessman. Im tirtze, if you wish, this moment I will swallow you up. I will kill you. I could swallow you. Amalai, matam adabit. The father, the guy, the rab said, what are you talking about? Heshavlai, zachrata, don't you remember? Kshenasati im bincha, you remember? The first time you went with your son. Now, how was he supposed to know this? He said, you remember when you went with your son? You remember when the horse fell down by the bridge? And you went back home? Then you remember that the wheels broke? Then you remember that the last time, Pagathibi, you met me. And I told you that Rebbe is a kal, meaning he's a nobody, he's a those avayers. He says, now that I was able to cause your son to die. Now he said, now I'll let you go. Now you can go to the Rebbe, to the tzaddik. You can go to the tzaddik. Now that I killed your son, you can go to the tzaddik. He said, you should know that your son was meant to be the Mo'or HaKotn, the small light, the moon. That tzaddik now, and the tzaddik who he was unable to live without, who he wanted so badly to go to, who's, because of that his life was never ever whole. At tzaddik now, l'b'chinis Mo'or HaGodol, the tzaddik he wanted to go to is the sun, S-U-N, is the shining sun of the world. He's the Mo'or HaGodol. And if your son, who was the Mo'or HaKotn, was the moon, would have met the Mo'or HaGodol, the sun, which was the tzaddik, Hayyabha Mashiach would have come. The Kevin Shapatati also, since I was able to get rid of your son through you, Atar Rishoylan, so now you can go for as many trips as you like. You're free to go now. In other words, this is the Samach Mem. This is the other side, the Satan, the evil one. Obeserich Dvar of Nelam. And while he was speaking, he suddenly disappeared. V'lo hayelo imila daver. And the Rav was looking around, and this wasn't there anymore, this person. The Seich wasn't there. V'nosa harav al tzaddik. So the Rav continued on, and he went to the tzaddik. And when he came in, the tzaddik started to scream, Chaval, Chaval, oy, 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 Chaval al da'avdo mishtach. Chaval on the one who is lost and who is no longer here. Lo mishtach, and is no longer in the world, meaning on your son, who was the Mo'or HaKotn, the small light, the small luminary, the moon. Hashem is baruch yoshiv nidachene v'karv, amen. Rav Nachman ended by saying, Hashem is baruch should bring us all back to Yerushalayim and return all who are lost. So this story of Rav Nachman, which, as I said, is a story of the chassid going to the Rebbe, and the menias, the obstacles that are blocking the path. When Rav Nachman was telling the story and he spoke about the urgency of the child meeting him, it meant when he said that Mashiach, that would bring Mashiach. Rabbi Nachman wasn't saying, we have to understand, when Rabbi Nachman said that, it didn't mean that it was going to be the final redemption with Mashiach ben David. It meant that for your son, it would have been his redemption. That would have been Mashiach. Because each and every one, like the Mori Naim says in Parashas Pinchas, and all the tzaddikim say, that each and every one of us has a pechina of karve el nafshi ga'ala, like we say Friday night in Chadaydi, that my soul, the tachlis of our life is to find redemption, the ultimate redemption of our entire people is Mashiach Tzikayim. But each person's Mashiach means his own personal redemption. That means to reach his tikkun of who he could become. And in order for that to happen, your son had to go to the tzaddik and to meet the Rebbe, because his neshama had an attachment to me. And that's the geula. And if not, and if that doesn't happen, then the son will die. Dying here doesn't necessarily mean, God forbid, physical death. It doesn't mean death, it means that it will be the loss of his soul. It will be the death of who he could become. When we're not who we're supposed to be, it's called being dead. So the meaning of that, what Rabbi Nachman was saying, is that without this meeting, it's impossible for him to reach Shleimus. It's impossible for the Chassid to reach his Shleimus. So here, the young man is studying Torah, and he's davening. He's doing all the right things, but he doesn't find sipuk. He doesn't find satisfaction. It doesn't have a time. Because with all of his learning and all of his davening, he was able to reach a very high level that's called the moon. It's called Yehoshua. You remember we learned last year in the sixth Torah? That's called Yehoshua. He was able to reach the level of Yehoshua. And it meant he was ready. That's why he felt the emptiness, because he needed desperately, at this point of becoming the moon, he could only live if he would, and reach his tikkun, Mashiach, if he would receive his light from the sun, and that's the tzaddik. And he had to meet the tzaddik. So despite all that he learned and all of his greatness, he could not reach the shleimus unless he would come to the tzaddik that was connected to his soul. And therefore, Rabbi Nelson wrote, there's a big difference. It's not enough just to read inside the sefer. You have to go to the tzaddik himself. You have to go to the tzaddik. And that little bridge, everything is very symbolic. That little bridge, we'll talk about it more. That was the bridge that Rabbi Nachman spoke about in the famous sentence of Kol Ha'olam Kolo Gesher Tzah Mahod, that the whole world is a narrow bridge. And the breaking of that bridge and the failure of a human being to reach his geula, his destination, is what Rabbi Nachman was talking about. The bridge that crosses over from this world of Yehoshua to the world of Moshe Rabbeinu the Tzaddik. It's fraught with all kinds of frightening manias that the Satan puts in your way. And the job of a Jew is to overcome all of those manias and to go to the Tzaddik. All right, it's late. We'll continue next week.